And it doesn't necessarily have to be traditional recruiting, right? I think, when you can retain people, that's also recruiting. So focusing
Yeah.
on keeping the good people that you have can also be a way that you can alleviate the desperation hire.
Welcome to the Attraction Pros Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends and challenges facing the attractions industry today.
We chat with some of the top leaders in the field and provide resources that will help develop your career in this great industry.
I am Josh Liebman. I am obsessed with the guest experience and helping attractions make that their top priority for success.
And I'm Matt Heller. I am passionate about organizational effectiveness, leadership development, and employee engagement.
Now sit upright, hold on tight, and get ready for the Attraction Pros Podcast. Hey, Matt, how's it going?
Josh, today it's going fantastically.
That was a very mini fantastically. Why is that?
Well, today we're doing another mini-sode. And if you didn't join us for our last one, this is where we kind of scratch the surface of a topic and really look for our listeners to provide some input, provide some context, provide some clarity, even maybe ask some additional questions about that topic.
Excellent. So, question for you.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the term the desperation hire?
Well, I've heard you say it. And
Does that ever come up in meetings that you have with clients or with our friends in the industry?
So it has not come up that way, with those words, right? But I definitely know of people, and I will admit it, back in the day, I probably did it myself, where I hired people out of what you might call desperation, lower than the standard that you would typically want. People that, otherwise, if you had enough other people, these folks would not make the cut. So definitely, that concept is certainly out there and well known.
And I think it has a lot of names. I've heard the pulse test.
Yes.
You have a pulse, you're hired. Warm bodies, which I think, no matter what, please don't call it that. The thing is, though, I've been hearing it a lot lately from a wide variety of clients and prospective clients and people from all areas of the industry. This is not specific to any industry segment or any geography. I think that this is something that we all have challenges with because of how dynamic the operations are. It seems like you always need an exact number of staff members. And if one person leaves or if you need to terminate a team member, well, now you need to very quickly fill that position. So I would love to know if there are ways to really get rid of this desperation hire and be able to alleviate that stress for managers and leaders and operators within the industry. So that they don't encounter these challenges, because these impact the operation, they impact the employee experience with all the coworkers who are impacted from it. It impacts the guest experience, because if you're understaffed, well, now that's, that now it's longer wait times, it's poorer service, et cetera. It's all of that. And then a negative impact to the business altogether. So I have a few ideas, but wondering if you have any suggestions on ways attractions are able to eliminate the desperation hire.
Well, first of all, I feel like this has to do with volume, right? So especially if you're talking about frontline team members, the sheer number of team members that you have is going to determine, the standard with which you apply to each person that you're hiring, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have, let's say, 100 people that you need to run your operation, and you find 50 that are up to standard, that means that 50, may not be. And so all those impacts that you just mentioned to the employee experience, to the guest experience, those are going to be very, very real. So one thing that on a smaller scale, not half your staff, right? But on a smaller scale, what I've seen attractions do, and some of this came out of, some people did this coming out of COVID, was that they adjusted their hours. So they didn't have to have as many staff members. They might delay opening of a certain area of a park or something, so that they again could reduce the number of people. they might also reduce the number of days that they're open. So we go back to, I know this happened, you know, many, many years ago where, you know, Monday and Tuesday, you'd have those days off because everybody had those days off because it was, you know, your park was closed. And then, you know, you could work those other 5 days. So that would reduce, again, the number of people. So reducing the volume of people that you're looking for, I think, is one way. It's not the only way or probably the best way, but that is absolutely one way. But that also leads me to a question that I wanted to get out. And I just forgot what it was.
Well, while you're thinking of that, you are kind of touching on labor optimization and doing more with less. So that it kind of takes this idea of we lost a team member, so now we need to scramble and hire a new team member, to we don't have adequate staff to run our operation. Do we need to make modifications to our operation? Now, one could argue that that leads to challenges with guest service and guest experience. And they said they used to be open 7 days. Now they're open 5 days. They used to be open till 8 p.m. Now they're only open till 5 p.m. So I think all the solutions that you just talked about with adjusting hours, that definitely solves a problem probably in the short term. But yeah, I wouldn't think of it as a long-term solution. Do you agree with that?
Right. Absolutely. The other thing is that, you know, when we talk about what it takes to create a great guest experience, and you and I have talked about this, is that sometimes it is a team member that's interacting with someone. Sometimes it is technology that has taken over. So I don't know if this is one of the things you were thinking of, but, you know, areas where, you know, a kiosk could take the place of a team member that might've been there. You know, even something as simple as pushing more ticket sales online, which I know a lot of people are doing already, you know, that alleviates the number of ticket sellers that maybe that you have to have in front of your park at the beginning of the day. And then you can, of course, you know, limit the number of tickets you have per hour and things like that, and spread out the time that people get there if you're doing timed entry, and, you know, all those different things that you can do with that kind of technology. But that could reduce the number of people that you're looking for.
Right. It definitely reduces the amount of labor needed. So for instance, with the kiosk example, if you're going from, say, the traditional kind of box office style, the 1-to-1 ratio to a kiosk, now you're looking at something, it could be like a 1-to-4 ratio. If you've got a team member that's hovering and floating around the kiosk area, they're able to serve multiple guests at once because they're not needed for the actual transaction. They're there almost as a concierge. They're there to assist you. Now, if let's say you had, you know, 12 windows that you are now, you had 12, you know, individuals working, you know, at a time. Now you go to a 1-to-4 ratio. So you have 3 kiosks, maybe now, or I'm sorry, you have 3 team members at the kiosk. So you go from 12 team members to 3 team members. If one of those team members leave, I would argue that that has a bigger negative impact on the operation than if one leaves out of 12 and there's still 11 left. So then that leads actually back to probably higher urgency with the desperation hire.
So there was something that I probably mentioned to you, because this happened, gosh, back in the 90s when I went to IAPA for the first couple of years. There's a gentleman named T. Scott Gross, and he was talking about the big box stores that went from, you know, being able to go in and talk to people and things like that. And then it went to going in and like taking a number for the item that you wanted, and you go back and you order it, and then they pull it out of the back. And then, so the only team member you're interacting with is that one person that's fulfilling the order.
Yeah.
And even he said way back then in the 90s, he said that one person is so much more valuable than having, you know, the interactions with that one person, because that's your only opportunity to make a judgment on how the organization feels about you, treats you, that kind of thing. If you're doing that with a human being, right? Because everything else is much more transactional. So if you have 10 people that you're interacting with, when you think about how that experience was, you're probably going to average out those 10 people. But when you've only got one, if they're a desperation hire, if they're a dud, then good luck trying to get a good experience out of that. But I did remember the question that I wanted to ask. And that was, from a management standpoint, do we even know when we're making the desperation hire? Right. So think about this. Again, you've got 100 people that you need. And is it a conscious decision to say, this person's below our standards, but I'm going to hire him anyway? Or is it, they're pretty good. You kind of talk yourself into it. That's 51 and then 52 and then 53. So I don't know. That's probably a question for the group, right? For our listeners. Do you know when you're making these kind of hires that this person really isn't up to your standards?
Well, it could also be that when you're interviewing, that person could be either really good at interviewing and not great at their job, or really bad at interviewing, but really good at the job. So I think that poses some challenges with screening.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So when you brought this up, when you started thinking about this, what kind of input, what kind of feedback would you like to get from our audience?
Okay. So I do want to get feedback from our audience and see what they're doing to avoid the desperation hire. I came up with three quick bullet points right here that if you implement these could hopefully be able to alleviate some of the stress of the desperation hire. One is interview more candidates than you need to. So kind of taking the number of positions that you have, blasting out, striving for far more applicants than there are positions available to hopefully screen out and be able to find those who maybe you would not have found if you were seeking fewer candidates. So that's only step one. The second part is to always be recruiting, even to the point of even building a wait list. Even if you're interviewing someone, you're recruiting and say, we don't have the position right now, but when we do, we'd like to call you. Now, naturally, that's going to lead to some attrition to say, if you get a call in 6 months, there's a lower likelihood of that person being available. Unless they want that job so much and want to work for your organization so much that they'll say, I'll go get a job in the meantime and I'll wait for your phone call. So if you build up that hype and build up that demand, then ideally in a perfect world, you've got a long line of people who are waiting to work for you and that they're already completely qualified. You know that they're totally vetted. And the third part is about streamlining onboarding. So this is about, you know, I hear a number of times from people who say, sometimes we scramble to hire so quickly, they show up for their first day of work and we're almost surprised to see them there. So having that fluid onboarding process, even if it's not a fully scheduled day one orientation, the more that you're able to put in front of them prior to their first day at work, the more digital training that you're able to do that's asynchronous, that's on demand, I would say checks all those boxes of perhaps some of that training and some of those administrative functions and those HR policies they need to sign off on, the more you're able to do that ahead of time, the smoother it'll make that first day versus that person who comes into work completely deer in the headlights. Here's your name tag. Here's your uniform. Now go out on the floor and we'll train you as we go.
So what I love about some of those suggestions is it really takes a mindset shift, I think, than from where we are right now. And, you know, to go totally to what you're saying might not be practical, you know, right there. And you said in a perfect world, like this is what would work. But I think one of the things that we of course have to keep in mind in your suggestions and anything else that comes in, and this is just something I thought of as you were saying that, is, you know, we are interacting with people. Right. And so we have to make that process, to your point, as smooth as possible for those folks. We have to get them excited about coming to work. We have to make this something that they want to do, just like our guests. Here we go with that intersection of the guest and employee experience. We hype up our guests to come in and get them all excited to want to experience all those things we have to offer. Well, we should be doing the same thing with our team members and or potential team members, I should say. Now, to your point, we may not have enough positions if we are inundated with applications, but I actually wrote down that ABR, always be recruiting, because that's something I've talked about in the past, you know, and I borrow it from sales, like always be closing, like the ABCs of sales, right? And I'm not the world's greatest salesperson, but I have heard that. And then, you know, I figured it could have some application in our industry as well from an HR perspective. So I love that one. Always be recruiting. And it doesn't necessarily have to be traditional recruiting, right? I think, you know, when you can retain people, that's also recruiting. So focusing on keeping the good people that you have can also be a way that you can alleviate the desperation hire.
100% by improving retention, reducing turnover.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent.
So, go ahead.
So, we want to hear from all of you on what you are doing to alleviate the desperation hire. Please let us know by following us on social, letting us know. Let us know on Twitter. Let us know on X. Let us know on Facebook. Let us know on Instagram. You can email us, attractionpros@gmail.com. Please tell us what you are doing to alleviate the desperation hire. And if you want to hear more of these episode formats, please let us know as well.
Absolutely. And for everybody who's out there watching and listening, just remember, we are all Attraction Pros.
Thanks for listening to the Attraction Pros podcast.
Make sure to subscribe so you can tune in when new episodes release. And even better, please leave us a review on iTunes.
For more information, visit attractionpros.com.